I go into more detail in this in the paper, but all the appellate judges, particularly Court of Appeals judges, are really pressed for time. They have to deal with about 6 opinions a week. They've heard cases on panels, 3 judges, which means each judge has to write 2 opinions a week or closely review 2 opinions a week that staff attorneys help to write. They need to then review closely 4 other opinions that their colleagues wrote on different cases. So that means they have to look at 6 cases a week, which means at least 2 briefs, which means maybe they will get 2 hours for your brief, maybe, if you're lucky, but probably not much. It seems that Court of Appeals justices and primarily Court of Criminal Appeals judges for the last few years have been trying to tell us how to write briefs. And I'm going to use one of these to demonstrate right now. You may have noticed there's almost a pattern for their opinions. They start with a paragraph that states the issue, only the most absolutely necessary facts, and then the resolution of that question posed on appeal. It's all right up front. Here's how Judge Jesse McClure of the Court of Criminal Appeals did this in a recent opinion. Everybody's had time to read that. That's the first paragraph of the opinion. And no throat clearing, no warming up, no facts of the case on appeal at all. This is an opinion from the highest criminal court in Texas, so it needs to have broad application. So this opinion starts with just an immediate summary of the reason review was granted and how it comes out. Only one opinion, and Judge McClure has learned the succinct and clear formula for writing. We should use this as an example. In my paper, I suggest that we should start adding a statement of the issue at the beginnings of our briefs. David Keltner yesterday said he always starts his briefs with an introduction, which I agree with and I've been doing for years. But now I'm suggesting we should actually make a new section that would come right after the statement of the case or even before the statement of the case. And it would look something like this. Now, you could say we already have something similar to this with the points of error themselves and the summary of the argument at the beginning of the argument. But some Court of Appeals justices don't look at the index, table of contents to see the points of error. And some of them, as for the summary of the argument, they don't get to that until they've read pages of statement of facts. But if you put this right up front, it's going to focus how they read the statement of facts and everything that follows. Putting the issue and its proper resolution right up front will focus everything that follows. And believe me, appellate judges will appreciate it because sometimes they go into a brief having no idea what's coming up. The table of contents may have said point of error 1, point of error 2 without even putting the substance of them in there. And so they start reading the facts without knowing what they're looking for. Doing something like this will inform everything that follows. Now, you're writing about a particular case. You're not creating law for the whole state. So you will need to get into particulars, but you don't have to do it right away. First, state the issue and its resolution. Here's another one that just came out last week after I had turned in my PowerPoint, an opinion by Judge Keel, Spielbauer versus State. The first paragraph of which is even more succinct. This is not in the paper of the PowerPoint, so just listen. This is the first paragraph. Must a trial court dismiss a potential juror under Texas Code of Criminal Procedure, Article 35.16, based solely on answers to a questionnaire? We hold no. Boom. There's no hesitation. There's no equivocating. You don't even have to read the rest of the opinion if you don't want, because it's all there in the first paragraph. You should read the whole opinion, because I'll get to that in a minute. But look at that if you haven't already. Spielbauer versus State, which was just handed down 9 days ago, May 5th. Referring back to that survey of appellate justices, almost uniformly, those judges say they'd like to see more of 2 qualities: clarity and brevity. And if you read the rules of appellate procedure, the requirements of a brief, Rule 38.1, they use the word brief and concise a lot. Those rules are promulgated by the Court of Criminal Appeals and the Supreme Court. And when they say brief, they're not talking about the document you're writing. They're talking about short. Make it as short as possible. We have very little time for this. So if you make your brief as short as possible, they will appreciate it. So please discard all those equivocating phrases and ornamentation. Like, the state would advance the proposition that, no, just say it. When you write something like, the defense would argue that, first of all, they've seen that so many times, it's just a blank spot on the page to the appellate judges. But second of all, when you say, appellate would argue that, it sounds like what you're saying is, I may or may not believe this myself, but I've been assigned this position, and here's what I'm going to say about it. So cut out all those phrases, keep it short and simple, discard all those. I also want to talk about what to write about. The first time I argued at the Court of Criminal Appeals was about 3 years after I had been a briefing attorney there. I felt really good about my argument. I felt like I had hit all the right cases. I'd seen a lot of oral arguments when I was at the court. I knew what was effective and what wasn't. The issue in my first argument was the collateral estoppel branch of double jeopardy, which was kind of my specialty at the time. So I felt good about it. I was arguing against Mark Stevens, who was then and now a great appellate advocate. And I was happy with my brief. I hit all the right cases, I thought. I argued that it wasn't quite the same parties. I argued that there were different burdens of proof. I argued why collateral estoppel shouldn't apply. When the opinion came out, it was written by my former boss, Judge Sam Houston Clinton. He set out the issue and then said, we decide this case on a different basis from that argued by the parties. So addressing the arguments of the parties is pretermitted.